This conference is being recorded.
Walker Fire Board Meeting. Okay. I'm going to use the microphone, even though, if you're going to speak to us, please step forward so we can either use the mic or the recording and this, what do you call this thing?
Tricorphone.
Right.
Polycom can pick it up. Last month we had some difficulties hearing from the back of the room. So begin the general session. I have the agenda. You have an agenda in front of you. And I think it's pretty much what I had distributed. I don't believe we've added anything. Nobody had any ads that I could remember. And is there anything to add to this agenda? Roger.
No. The only thing would be just an update as far as the newsletter.
Newsletter didn't make it in there. And I'll put that under new business.
And just an update on planning committee.
Yes, and your committee report is already in there.
Okay.
That worked. Okay. New business would be the newsletter. Vic, anything for the agenda? John?
Yep.
Ready? Okay. Have a motion to approve the agenda. Greg moves.
Second.
Second. Yeah. He said for me to talk.
All right. Any further discussion about the agenda? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Okay. Public comments. Anything anybody wants to say about the agenda of the meeting, what we're going to talk about? Do you have some things that you want to talk about now before the meeting? Anybody? Seeing none. All right. The board met kind of an informal session to discuss the things that are on this on the business agenda. We'll talk about them as we come to them. I think that the weather is starting to change. We need to start worrying about whether we're going to freeze. More important that we keep the trucks inside than outside. That we move this over, so we're only moving one truck out. It's not all that cold now, but we don't necessarily need to freeze the truck. So things are rocking along here pretty well. So, Russ, you have your secretary's report?
I do.
Use the mic.
So this month we completed some certificates for the Firefighters Appreciation Day. Those were handed out, I think it's on the 29th. We received a confirmation from Farmers Insurance documenting the address changes for the policy, for the bond policy, changing the address to the PO bond. Beginning this month, I'm no longer going to be transcribing meeting minutes and posting that document. In lieu of that work effort, the board will be taking advantage of current technology and will post the recorded audio file from the meeting. This will be accompanied by a monthly meeting agenda, augmented brief description of the meeting topics, and a time index where each topic can be found in the audio file. The ability to play an audio file is a basic point-and-click feature any PC and Mac has.
You got it.
So no additional software is required by anyone to play an audio file. And it's expected that the change will have some benefits. Certainly it's going to reduce the amount of time I'm going to spend transcribing, which is good. Eliminate the need for review and corrections, and still provide an accurate record of each board meeting. The transcription from the 8th September board meeting was completed, reviewed by the board. Final copy was made available to the membership for review, and corrections were received from Victoria on the code drive and from Lauren regarding the FireWise discussion. And those corrections were made. So I'll make a motion to amend the minutes from 8 September, allowing those corrections. Just mentioned.
Motion.
Second.
I think Russ made the motion.
I'll second.
And John Wonesian seconds. Any discussion about the amended minutes? Amendments to the minutes? All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
I put it this way. All right, all in favor of the amendments to the minutes?
Aye.
Now I need a motion to approve the amendments as, minutes as presented.
As amended.
Okay, Vic moves.
Second.
Chuck gets a second. Any other discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
Operating checking account now open. Closed our account at M&I, and there's just enough money left in Chase to make sure that nothing else comes in that we didn't know about or account for. Cash on hand at the end of August 31st, $108,006. On the year-to-date profit and loss statement, our expenses exceeded budget by $4,500. These can be accounted for very easily, but the problem, particularly in the first few months, when we do some of the budget line items, we just divide it by 12 because we don't know exactly when particular charges are going to hit the books. So from month to month, you know, we can be off a little bit, and that happened this month. Quite a few things were bought for the fire truck, which put us $2,600 of that $4,500 over. But again, they're not going to be spending them, the budget amounts in other months. Same way with, and with our permission, a lot of firefighting clothing has been being purchased for the firemen. Again, that's, that was accounted for over the whole year. Things like that. But the good news is that our income budget was higher than budgeted by $2,700. So the bottom line, year to date, we are negative $2,332. We hope 100% up to date, and will remain up to date going forward with thank you letters for donations. The system in place is that as the accountant recognizes the checks as they come in, within that month, thank you letters are printed out in his office. The dates are, the addresses are updated in the database, and hopefully with the help of Russ and Joyce Lockridge, who have both agreed to help scrub the list going forward, the one and only database will be the QuickBooks, so that we, you know, people aren't using different lists for different things, because we need one list that's always up to date. So the system's in place now to capture all that. The system's now in place to get these letters out. The system's in place to pay checks in a timely fashion. And the P.O. box is working great because, you know, it goes directly from somebody directly to the bookkeeper, and then I review all those. So all is good. Any questions?
That, yeah, I've got it. So I know not to use the Chase debit card. Do you want that back, or do you want me to just destroy it? Is the first question.
Just destroy it.
Okay. And then I've got a credit card from M&I. Is that the correct one that I should have in my wallet?
That's correct, and that's still good.
Okay.
But that has nothing to do with the banking relationship. That's a credit card relationship.
Okay.
The relationship is done. I don't think, look, it's business for them, you know, and we've been good credit for them, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. But if it becomes an issue, Country Bank also works with a credit card company that they can turn us over to.
Okay, the question then is, your Chase is a debit card that you use like at Costco, or is the M&I Bank the debit card?
So a while ago, I had two cards in my wallet, and then we stopped with Chase. Chase was the debit card. Going forward, since Costco is only three or four or five times a year, I'll just pay for it and then submit to be reimbursed.
This is a conversation we've already had. It's just easier. I frankly, I have I just have a problem with the debit card floating around out there to our checking account. I think this is a much safer way to do things for the little bit of money that is transpiring.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Russ, any questions for Vic?
No.
John?
No. Oh, come on.
Chuck, will you wrap up so Brian
party? You already had your question.
Gone.
All right, you have a motion to accept the treasurer's report?
Motion.
All right, you're really quick, John O. So, Greg, second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well done.
Fire chief report.
Okay. Okay, so first, sorry for being tardy in not emailing this out. The week kind of got away from me. First things first, calls. There's a typo. We had a total of 6 calls, not 5. We had 5 medical calls and 1 smoke call, kind of a busy month. When I email you this, I'll change that to 6 from 5. So the biggest thing this month probably was fleet stuff. Only Patrol 81 is left to have its annual servicing. It's been taken in already. When it comes back, it'll go up to the Big Bug substation. Mark and I have talked about the logistics of that, and so that'll be pretty easy to do. A couple of other items. Patrol 80 needed 2 new tires, so those were paid. I think we've submitted that receipt to you. I think I left it in your box yesterday, Vic. That was really not that painful given how expensive it could have been. We started a new preventative maintenance program that was kind of designed by Central Yavapai. This is what they do for their trucks. And the conversation that I'm having with Dominic is that he thinks it will cut our maintenance expense, you know, annual servicing with them, meaningfully. I mean, he said a half. I'm not that optimistic. That's a little too bullish. But, you know, and to be clear, this doesn't affect, you know, stuff is still going to come up that needs to be fixed. You know, these are very old trucks, and so stuff is going to break. But in terms of annual maintenance and servicing, that we can give them preventative documents in their format is the thing here. And so hopefully that turns out to be the case, that it does reduce our expense, and that would be for next year. Let's see, and, okay, that's it for fleet. Training, our September 15th training was with Mayor. We went over structure, strategy, and tactics. Our October 6th training was truck refresher, and we implemented the preventative maintenance program that I just spoke about. One other thing I would note, this year we've really beefed up our structure training. In addition, we've also had hazmat training. Most of the group has completed the NIMS online courses. This is kind of a few goals that we set out at the beginning of the year. And, you know, we're going to try and do this every year where we come up with a few things that we haven't done before that will help bring us a little more in sync with other departments. Appreciation dinner. Thanks, you know, from all the firefighters for all the work that was involved and also the sentiment behind it. You know, it's kind of a big thing. So thank you to everyone involved. Basin Ops Group, it appears as though we'll, again, be involved with the Basin Ops Group this is yet something else that keeps us involved with the other departments and agencies. It's kind of an important thing. I think we're easily forgotten if we don't, you know, keep popping up at these things and trying to be involved. And, you know, generally that's what we do. Last item I've got, Prescott Fire. We're in the process of strengthening our relationship with them. You know, very small stuff, but, you know, they helped us with filling our oxygen bottles after we had our structure training down in the valley. You know, it's just little things. And, you know, I say on here, strengthening our relationship, but really it's, you know, them and interdepartment cooperation, but really it's them helping us with stuff. It's really not much we can do for them. They helped us with a call that involved airlifting a patient from Costco parking lot in the middle of the night. I think that was last weekend. You know, no hesitation here. We need to ask for the help. That's not new. And they never hesitate to come help us with anything. That's all I've got.
Any questions for Roger, Jeff? Greg?
Just real quick, I mean, what type of preventative maintenance can we do that might cut our bills in half? I'm going to do it to my car.
Well, it's not so much that it's anything, you know, different or unique, but it's just, you know, I can forward you the spreadsheet. It's just they gave us the spreadsheet that they use that is part of their routine for daily and weekly maintenance. It's just giving it to the – essentially, it's the same that we've done, but it's in their format. And so somehow that just facilitates what I talked about.
Great. And I think maybe it's recognizing the problem before it becomes a more expensive problem by doing these kinds of things. John?
I probably missed this at the retreat. Where are we at with Mayor?
It's on the agenda here.
It is, okay. ask Russ and then maybe come back to you.
Russ.
Nothing.
Oh, that's...
Thank you.
How do you do in television? A little bit, you know?
So it's a senior moment that we're going
to talk about. You can talk about it later if you like.
Okay. All right.
You know, there's several opportunities. Sure.
Yeah. All right.
I have a motion to accept the fire chief's report.
I'm motion.
Chuck moves.
Sure.
John seconds.
Hey, whoa.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Committee reports. Ryan, committee, you want to go first? I want to talk about track.
Go ahead.
Okay.
That'll be a good segue.
You're going to start, right? Yeah. We have signed a contract with Patriot and have notified Waste Management that we're no longer going to use their services. Waste Management has, I think, 8-yard dumpsters out here. We'll get 6 or 5-yard dumpsters. They're smaller. They're easier to manipulate. You can lift things up easier. We get 7 of those instead of the 5 that we have out there now. There's room for them. Their fee is $200 a month cheaper. They're more flexible, and they are able to recycle. They recycle their trash because it's cheaper for them to take only the wet stuff to the Waste Management dump site. Waste Management controls all the dump sites. So that's in the process of the banking. I'm going to continue the Chase account. I'm going to have to move some money back in to pay the $755 fees for November. I paid October. I had enough left in there for October, thinking I'd move it to country. But by the time I, change with Waste Management, I'll just let Waste Management continue to draw the money from Chase. So I'll have to put another $1,500 back from the Chase account, or the country bank that we opened. I'll put it back in so we'll have money. And then in January, I'll close the account. And then in the newsletter, we'll publish the days. It's the same as every year. We change the combination on the 1st of February. The contract runs January 1 through December 31. But there's always a slip over. But that's what we're doing with your trash LLC.
And how much are we making per year?
Well, the last 2 years, we put in, $6,000 back.
Yeah.
Now, with the 6-month subscriptions, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact numbers in my head, but I transferred over $5,000. I want to bring back $1,500, so there'll be $3,500 at the beginning of the year at the Country Bank. $2,500 of that will go to insurance unless there's a rate raise in the insurance, which means there's another $1,000 in there that is not committed money, except for the first month would be $500. So we have $500 of uncommitted money. And so that 6 months didn't really hurt us. We'll know better this year. And we've also implemented, if somebody moves in later in the year, then it's a $30 a month on a monthly basis. There was a lady from the Hacienda Lake that wanted to just have 1 month. She had a group of kids come in and she wanted to be able to use the dumpster. We just do a $30 a month fee for that. It's $20 a month if you do a 6-month subscription. It's $15 a month if you do an annual subscription. So everybody seems to be in line with that. We did have a request for a refund because the guy sold his house. I haven't decided about refunds yet. So I'm not sure.
Give them a credit in a dumpster for next year.
That's right. So that's what's going on in the trash business. Chuck?
So clarify two things. One is actually the exchange is going to take place, and secondly, you can put anything in the dumpsters, plastic, cans, bottles, no matter.
Yeah, everything except you can do that now except hazardous materials. It just doesn't get recycled out. So it's not a, there won't be a separate bin for recyclables. Mm-hmm. They do that. They just put it on a big conveyor and have sorted it and do it. Yeah. And that includes these lights.
Okay. Wait a minute. Really? You got to wrap them?
These lights? Cause I'm curious about the lights because we have to do a special program at the university for it. It's a hazardous waste.
Yeah.
Can you take these back to the university?
No. So what's the date on the exchange?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's December 31st. January 1. The waste management's here until 12:31. They're supposed to take their dumpsters out. And Patriot will have theirs here earlier. But we'll be ready on January 1. It'll happen that weekend. Talking to Sherry, they'll all be here. So undoubtedly will be confusion. Maybe not.
So they come in with a regular truck, dump the dumpsters, but instead of driving out to the landfill, they take it back to their place. Is that?
Yeah.
And this is cheaper?
It's part of the service, I think.
They make it up on volume.
Don't get me wrong, but I mean, that's a hell of a lot of handwork.
It sure is.
There's a lot of retired people here that might think about,
They make it up in volume.
Yeah.
Sorting job.
Yeah, you have to talk to Gary, the owner of Patriot, about the business model if you... But waste management does the same thing in the valley on a smaller scale. They don't do everybody, but they do have a recycling belt. It is an ugly thing if you
ever... Oh, God.
Middle of the summer? Wow.
Yeah. $8 an hour employees. Anybody else?
Yeah.
About the trash?
Yeah. This came up before, and I was part of the group that agreed on it, the $2,500 just for our insurance in case there's some hazardous drippings or something like that. We were to get sued down the road. I had brought it up out of just quite ignorance. I didn't know if it was possible. We talked about maybe if there was cement underneath the dumpsters, if that would eliminate the need for this $2,500. I mean, if it was $5,000 cement that area, and in 2 years we'd break even. It seems like a good investment. But were you looking into that to a certain degree or not, amongst the other 3,000 things you're working on?
It was a retreat item.
Was it really?
Well, no, it's a retreat item. We need to talk about it.
I think it was assigned a job, wasn't it?
It was.
Hang on. Okay. Well, that's right. Whoever doesn't show up gets assigned a job.
I had never been a fan of the pan underneath.
Mm-hmm.
For a variety of reasons, and talking to Patriot about that, I asked them about that specifically. If we get a pan, they will require us to sign a waiver against damage to the pan.
Right.
Because it creates all kinds of issues.
Sure.
With
slam that dumpster down.
It drops down. You know, you don't. What are you protecting? You're still going to have overflow of all water and everything. So it really doesn't do that much in terms of protecting.
Oh, I was thinking there'd be like a lip on it.
There could be a lip, but the lip will go away. It'll crack. Everything is going to. You know, it doesn't. In the long term, it doesn't do much, except cost you money and create other issues.
Right.
So their recommendation was to not do it.
Keep the insurance.
And keep the insurance. Whatever, unless you can talk to them and ask them if it's going to cut the insurance down to $500 a year, but I doubt it.
I got a couple ways to look at that. You could actually... Rather than having a moat around each individual, you could just build a large bank of them where the tubs can be dropped in there. And if you put this stuff in, it's like when Vic put it in his driveway, it's 4,500 to 5,000 PSI stuff. You're not going to bust it up too much. But you'd have to invest a significant amount into making the whole thing more...
That's not going to keep us from getting sued either.
No.
I mean, somebody can always make the case that there's a crack in the concrete, so we need the insurance anyway, so I think it's a kind of...
I'm just leaving it there.
Oh, not
that. All right.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what's going on with the trash.
Let's never talk of it again, then.
About the pan or
about
the trash?
The pan is off the table.
You make that motion?
Yeah, I make a motion. We never talk about the pan.
Okay. Planning committee.
Yes. Okay, the final members of the planning committee, we set that last week. That's going to now include Vic and Scott Stratman, and we've got Tim on there, Tim McFarland, Roger, and then myself. At any rate, we had the retreat last week, as Bill had mentioned, and articulated kind of a process that we're going through, carved this up in different categories, facilities, for example, community outreach, volunteer staffing, regulatory compliance, funding, long-term strategy, short-term strategy, and trying to line these things up, and then the overall strategy of the department. So we'll have some additional dialogue, kind of fill in the blanks as far as priorities are concerned. But what I think the most salient piece of information that came out of meeting and the start of the planning committee was really to reach out, and what we're going to do this year, and hopefully before the newsletter, is send an announcement out and run a survey. We're going to use a company called SurveyMonkey, and we'll come up with hopefully less than 20 questions, a link that individuals can go into. It will identify the computers. You can have repetitive votes and so forth, but give the board some direction as to what the community is looking for. Is it, you know, is it more involved EMP offerings? Is it some change in the fire department? Is there more of a community flair that we need to start incorporating in it that we're bringing back? So what we'll do is we'll have the results of that survey, and the board will come back, the planning committee will come back and kind of frame its direction around that as well and make a recommendation to the board for a final kind of a charter and a strategy for the planning committee. So that's where we're at on planning / strategy.
As
part of the planning. Other than that, that's it on the planning committee.
Okay.
You want to cover the newsletter?
No. I want to talk about the planning committee a little bit. I'm going to make a suggestion that you add a couple of members to your committee.
Okay.
Somebody from up on the big book, somebody up on the potato pack. What you have here is pretty much Central Walker.
That's fine. That's fine. Now, we have had a call out for volunteers on this and gotten zero. So we can do this again. And, in fact, what I would suggest is maybe an email blast, just announcing the committee, its makeup, and that we're looking for area reps on the board.
Carolyn,
yeah.
Got plenty up here.
Data patch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I don't know who you're talking about. So
Carolyn, a female should be at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to ask her directly, or are you going to?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Who will do the reach out there?
I will.
Okay.
Let me just do it.
Okay.
And don't tell him now.
Yeah. Oh, I will. No.
Well, you find somebody up there, and then
sure.
Maybe we can talk to. What's his name from the potato patch?
We'll talk to him, but he's got a lot on his plate.
No, but there's other people up there. You know, Jeff, and there's several people that are wanting to get involved.
Very powerful.
And they don't necessarily recognize these, when you say, yeah, okay.
Good.
All right.
Perfect.
So the planning committee is on the road. Going around. Okay. Volunteer of the Month recognition. Rudy Erdman showed up last week. He didn't show up this month. I'll have a little certificate from him. Leave it in there because he's not here to see it anyway. If you don't know, Rudy, we talked about it a little bit last month, but he took on the task of fixing one of the signs that had deteriorated there at where the mailboxes are. That tree had fallen against the stop sign, and he went ahead and fixed that. And he's been cleaning that area up. Right? If you see, he's been picking stuff up and stacking stuff. So, he took that on and did a good job. He's also going to be ramrodding the art show. It's going to be a pancake day this month. Whole business, mayor contract. The discussion has been that we are going to have the mayor contract come to an end.
Sunset.
That's all this. You know, business meeting talk. I called for Glenn. He's out. Was out on vacation this week. I talked to McGee. He understands. He doesn't have any problem with that. They have a 12-month or a longer month training, temporary, schedule that kind of pencil out something for longer months. Says you're welcome to use that. If it's up to Roger. If Roger wants to use it, that'd be fine. And they would continue to come back, but you'd have to work out whatever kind of fee structure and things like that we're going to do with mayor. Or you could substitute other people to do what just kind of gives you a ballpark direction in terms of the training. So I won't be able to speak to Glenn until Monday. It turns out that Mike Rhodes is not going to resign as their chairman, and he is a very supportive person for this relationship between Mayor and Walker. And I tried to call him, but he didn't answer. And the phone number that I had for him didn't work. So I'll get hold of the night. So I don't know if they'll do this for November or not. So I'm hoping that they won't, but we'll see. Okay, driveway entrance. Oops, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Roger.
So I guess my only question would be, in terms of your conversation with Chief McGee, when are they planning on coming to do October training with us, or no? We need to plan accordingly, otherwise.
Yeah, I think everything was as scheduled until he hears different. And
through the month of October.
Through the month of October.
Okay, perfect.
We didn't make any changes in what was already in place.
Okay, perfect.
Me want to call you. Yeah, call. Otherwise, okay. Anything else about the mayor contract? Check for the driveway entrance?
Yeah, I know. I'm asking to put slash county roads on there when we put that on the agenda. So the first part of that is the driveway entrance over here that's been sort of falling apart. And, you know, we had concrete in there for a while, and now it's sort of like you're launching off of a little cliff. I spoke with the county and went down to see both Earl and Doug and showed some pictures of what that thing is, because their road's sort of deteriorating there. And so basically they said, they'll just put a 12-foot asphalt deeper into the parking lot, so we should do nothing. So they'll cover that.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, in 2012.
Yeah, well,
2015.
Yeah. Well, that's my next question to them. In addition to that, we had some discussion about, obviously, the Walker Road thing has been left, like the construction contract for that. And I think they're supposed to be starting, like,
and they ordered this van.
Yeah, this week, I think, or sometime quick. And the discussion led to the fact that they're only going from Costco to Big Buck. And this section from Big Buck up to the mailbox is not going to be done. That discussion led to the fact that this section here was done at the request of Tom, I think, and they never got a right-of-way for this area. They don't have right-of-ways for Sheldon. And they were asking us, would we be willing to work in cooperation with them to seek the right-of-ways for this road, because they could do more on this road shoulder-wise. Some of this road is, the shoulders are starting to disappear on this apart from Big Buck to the mailbox. So my next contact is going to be with them to try to determine how we would go about helping them. You know, do we need a piece of paper to go out and get people to sign it? Do we send it to them? I'm not really sure what the board requirements are there. And secondly would be, you know, okay, you're going to put a 12-foot apron in, when you're going to do that. In conjunction with that conversation, also asked for the cinders. They're going to be delivering those shortly. Here, they've already delivered them up on Mary May. So I think Frampton Hill, they'd like to get the higher spots out of the way first to do that. So, and my guess on there, I talked to them on the Walker Road. It looks like all the repairs on Walker Road are going to be torn out, resurfaced. And then I think they're taking an inch off of
the grinding the whole road.
They're grinding the whole road, and they're going to resurface the whole thing. So it's major to do.
That rains pours.
Yeah. So Annie also told me that they're doing something that they haven't. They're starting to do something they haven't done before, and they're starting to count cars on dirt roads. They've never done that in the past. They've done it on paved roads to make sure they know what the maintenance requirements are. So. Now, when they get a call from somebody who lives on a dirt road, so, you know, we got terrible traffic up here. You get 25 cars. So they're going to have an idea of what's going on. But I think it's significant that we can work with them as a board on the right-of-ways for the roads up here. I think they said there could be some good improvements on those roads.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Roger, you have any questions for Chuck in the process here of what he's talking about? Greg? Nick? John? No? Okay, well, in terms of this board becoming involved with efforts to obtain right-of-way, I think it's important that the road remains in good shape for us as firefighters and for our fire trucks. So I think there's justification for us to be involved in it, but it's going to be up to the individual property owners, and I don't know that we as a board want to get involved in that discussion between them and the county. We don't want to be intermediaries there. We just want to let them know that this is happening somehow, that this is happening, and encourage them because it benefits us, not only us, but collectively with the person who's involved. But I think that was one of the sticking points last time with the one family that did not want to provide a right-of-way across the property. So I don't mind. I think that we get involved with it as informational, but in terms of any sort of negotiation, that would be entirely up to the individual property owners.
And I agree with that. And it is one of those situations where if one person doesn't go along with it, then the whole thing is out. So, and it wasn't our, and I didn't bring the board into this to say we would do this for you.
Yeah.
We're trying to, in cooperative effort. I actually asked one of the people from the county roads to show up at the meeting today. Well, you know, he said, well, he might, but obviously he didn't. So,
sure.
But I continue to want to have a conversation with them about this because I don't think it's really our position to go out and get signed documents for them, but we certainly should try to work with them because I think the improvements to the road, the existing roads, could be significant.
Sure. Okay, so is there a sense then that we do make some effort to publicize this using our email distribution list, our mailing list, and our a letter of support for this from the board to the county that the county can use in their distribution? And they may go to request?
I think it's a good idea, but I think we'd like to have another conversation with the county before we do that.
Okay. All right. So
what is exactly are we looking at? They must have had a right-of-way for what they did pave, or they didn't?
This?
Yes.
They did not.
So?
They just, in fact, he told me it was, I think Tom put a little pressure.
But there's a right-of-way to Big Bug?
There's a right-of-way there, yes.
To Big Bug?
The right-of-way is 66 feet. 33 feet from center on each side, and they don't use it all, but they require that so that they have if they needed to
do that.
Yeah. But mostly they don't do that. So it comes down to this was done, this road which is sort of chunking apart, and he said they didn't really put down a good base here because they were told you're going to do it really if you have a right of way or not. They didn't do a lot of shoulder work because they didn't have the right away, so they just threw it in here, and that's it. So there was county commissioner pressure, I think, on that.
Roger.
Yeah, just one thing, since maybe quite a few of you weren't here when they paved this last section. I can't tell you why necessarily, but it was very controversial when they paved that last section, and so in terms of going back to these people to pursue the right away, if that's what we need to do, I guess I would, you know, expect that there is going to be some serious, for whatever reason, some serious pushback.
I know that the one family is no longer an owner, a property owner there. It's owned by different people, but that doesn't mean that they have a different philosophy about it. That particular owner has a very narrow strip that the right-of-way would completely wipe out. So, you know, these are some of the logistical things that you're going to have to worry about.
And it was only, I mean, I had another extra grind there because I'd like to get a right-of-way in Sheldon because a lot of work could be done there for drainage, which they aren't going to do because they don't have any. So working up some additional.
Okay. All right. So you're going to talk to the county. We're going to table the it's not a driveway entrance issue so much as it is a road maintenance issue.
Right.
Okay. And so we'll add that to the agenda for next month. Okay. The potato patch building, this is also you, Chuck, I guess?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation there. I bet we were at two meetings. Roger was at one, you were at one, I was at another. And they took votes at both of these and overwhelmingly passed the membership there, passed the fire shed up in the park area. But Dan and I, Dan's still here, but we had figured that out. It was probably the best, flattest, easiest access. Utilities are right there. Everything was right there. And everybody except five people voted for this. And so the next step was Kurt called me, and we went down to the county and talked to Steve Mock about what the permits required, the paperwork was required and all that. So we got all that and started filling it out. And then he got a call from the county. Kurt Bowser did. Got a call from the county. And Steve said, well, we received a letter from a legal counsel. Three people have gotten legal counsel in Potato Patch, and the names are insignificant right now, but they are asking a cease and desist immediately. They don't want to, if the permit goes through, they'll file suit. So the county doesn't want to get involved, so they just stopped the process. And so at the present time, Kurt is polling the people in the data batch. They want to redo the HOA rules there for common areas so that they can sort of, their legal counsel is involved in it, so they can sort of smooth that out and try to cover the legal block right now. So this is not going to happen this year. It's going to take a little time to get this all the legal applications, but three people are pretty adamant about it. One of those issues.
Okay.
On top of that, Kurt just sent me an email saying, he's, my company sees production last Friday. I just said goodbye. I thought, okay, well, he's got some other issues.
Yeah, I'm kidding. So.
If you continue to have discussions with Kurt, which sounds like will be the case, conceptually, I would be in favor of having the truck up there. If someone wanted to host it in their garage from, like, April till October, I mean, the winter, I wouldn't expect anyone to heat their garage, you know, for us in that context. But if a resident wanted to provide access inside from April to October, that'd be cool, or something like that.
I think it's a good idea, and I think when we talked to them up there, I think there's like maybe three people that live up there full time. So it could be a narrow group that we solicit. We'll see.
Well, I mean, we could access anyone's garage.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, and I sort of put it in a winter time. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, the winter it would be problematic. We couldn't leave it had leave water in it. So. What would be the point?
I'll say something to Kurt about it, too.
Okay. Greg?
But April to October would be good.
Right. Well, I think as a general philosophy of the board, if I can, we would like to still have a truck in that area. Whatever it takes to get that done. The Potato Patch is not the only, they just happen to be a group that has some sort of structure to it. There are other places, like at the Big Bug, that we could possibly do and build a building that would be a little different. You wouldn't necessarily have the same kind of financial support that you would get from that HOA. But at the same time, it's not so much the Potato Patch spot to put the fire station, or here in a minute, it's called a storage shed. It's not called a fire station. And then we will keep that in the back of our minds. But at the same time, things can turn around at the Potato Patch too, and you just never know. So that is a work in process, and our position is that we support a truck in that area. If I'm not misstating that, and however we can do it. That's acceptable to everybody, then that's the way we want to do it. Okay, any other discussion about the Potato Patch? Big Bug lease agreement. Mark has my copy of that. You guys have had, you've seen this? Okay. Any discussion about it's now 2.5 pages, right? Because I put it at type 12 instead of type 10, so I can read it better. Roger, you've had discussions with Mark about getting the truck up there. Any thoughts on terms of the lease agreement?
No, I'm sorry. I mean, my focus has been just on the logistics of having the truck up there, the lease. I don't have any value to add.
Okay. Chuck?
Nope.
Okay. All right. The one sticking point for Mark was that I included a $10 a month electric fee that we would pay. He says he doesn't want it, but just in case he doesn't own the truck, own the building in 5 years, I think it was necessary to have it in there so that the new landowner would, if it ever changes. So other than that, Mark, is this thing acceptable to you in the form that it is now?
Yeah, it's great for me, Bill. The $10 a month was kind of an odd add for me.
Yeah.
And we did change it, made it an annual fee of $120, of which I'm going to donate it back to the department.
Yeah. It just kind of cements any subsequent owner into the agreement as well. Okay. So, without objection, we have a motion to sign this lease agreement. Greg moves. I second it. Vic. Any discussion about that other than what we've had? All in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. The Articles of Incorporation. Thank you. About time.
No.
The articles. Okay. We had, we distributed the articles. We had a couple of comments back about the articles. We incorporated those changes. We had an answer from Bill Karosh about that, and he answered back to the individuals that had input about it. So, Roger, you have any discussion about the articles? Anything to add? Chuck, you know, you have some questions and some areas you want to talk about?
And I think we talked about moving I think it's on the second page, 2.1.3.3.1, taking out the trash disposal, the collection and reduction of forestry and fire prevention as the parts of services that we provide. So, and I think that was hopefully agreed upon. Hopefully we agree upon that. And my other thing was to take out Bill Karosh as the agent because we already have an agent.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and I relayed that to Bill. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that, but I didn't talk to him directly. I had to leave a message.
Okay.
Okay.
Chuck,
let me see your copy.
That's more of a question. The modifications now. Once we get done with this, we're sending this to Whittington?
Yes.
That's all right.
Okay.
Well, as you guys know, I floated an email around about a concern I have. Not that it's a concern, but nobody's been able to articulate to me why. What's the number here, Chuck?
I think it's
7.1.2.1, private parcel owners whose property is protected by any other recognized fire protection. If they're excluded, I saw your email, but I'm just looking forward. Greg, I'd like you to weigh in on this one. In the planning committee, what limitations that places on the fire department, and I just don't understand. I mean, obviously it's been brought to my attention, too, that there's people that don't like it, but I'm in the neutral position. It's just somebody explained to me why this is necessary and in the best interest of the fire department.
I think that part of that discussion has more to do with membership and voting rather than it does with service. I don't think that impacts the service area for the WFPA. The guy that's up on Pine Mountain he's in the Groom Creek district. We're going there because we're the only ones that can get there first. We're going to get there first.
Our call yesterday is a perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. See, we're up in Pine Mountain.
So by VISTA, are we saying if you're covered by Groom Creek, we're not going to show up?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just that you cannot, you're not a member, a voting member.
Oh, I understand.
You're not a voting member
anymore. You know what you said, that it's about membership.
Yeah, it's about membership. It's not about service area.
Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Right.
And basically it's in there because of the effort with the gerrymandered effort, gerrymandered district, to retain the assets of the fire department. Mm-hmm. And that was the reaction to that. So
go ahead, Chuck. I'm going to listen because I honestly don't see how this helps anybody.
I forgot. I had questions. I didn't bring this up at the retreat either. The Article 11, which I've read that article over and over again, and I just don't get the concept there on Article 11. I'm not sure where we. I think it's supposed to be there, correct? I don't know.
What's it say?
Oh, it's
a long sentence, I can tell you that. Yeah,
long sentence. I'm really not sure what the purpose of that is.
Well, okay, I think if this is one of the things that is required by the IRS in Articles of Incorporation for nonprofits, and if it's a difficult sentence and not required, then this is where Whittington can weed it out. That's why we're sending it to Whittington for these kinds of that's a technical sentence. And may or may not be necessary from a legal standpoint, mm-hmm. and then that's where you get the advice from Bill Whittington.
Yeah, I'm hoping that somebody can make that logically sensible. I'm just not sure why we have that.
Yeah.
It may just be because we need to.
Okay, so that doesn't address the issue that you were talking about. That's a different issue, correct?
So here's a question: if we just simply took out that 7.131 or whatever it is,
7.1.21.
Does it matter?
I don't know.
Okay.
It depends on
how
people.
That's my problem. If we don't know, then why?
It depends on people who react to it. Mm-hmm. I know that there will be people who will react to that if you try to take that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
If this was put in for political reasons, mm-hmm. then it should never have been put in, as far as I'm concerned, because that goes for anybody on any side of any position shouldn't be messing with articles to fit some narrow thing that might happen. What I'm afraid of is by adding this, it'll kick us in the rear end down the line somewhere else. And that's why I said, Greg, I don't know if you have an opinion on this one way or the other. But
I do. And part of it, and I think I do have an opinion, but I think what we do is we just, like I said, we forward this over to Bill and make sure that he takes one more look at it. My recollection of why that went in there is partially what Bill had mentioned was, a district effort. But if you look at where this is placed within the bylaws, it really is. It speaks to membership. So if you're covered by City of Prescott, for example, do you necessarily want to vote in this area? If all of a sudden the area gets carved out differently, do you want to protect the membership as defined, or do you want to go? Because the service area is outside of this again, and it's whoever's going to show up first, if anybody shows up. But I think this speaks. It's in the membership section, and I think that's why it was placed in there. I'm fine with it, but like I said, let's point that out specifically to Bill and see if, one, there's any value in it, two, if there's any consequence that's really.
That's all I'm asking for, because I honestly don't know. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in the same page.
Yeah, the article wasn't read.
Okay, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, John?
I'm good.
Russ? So we forward these on to Whittington as presented here. We took the changes, the pen and ink changes you're talking about, removing the trash, the specific reference to what we can do rather than the broad generic article that says we can do other things. One of the things that this does is it takes out this hazmat restriction that was in the original Articles of Incorporation that restricted us from responding to hazmat. It's just not practical to do that. So we'll send this to Whittington.
With these
questions, and then get an answer back from him. We'll be lucky to have it back by the end of the year, and then we hit. Really, no. I mean, it's going to take some time. So November, December,
which is only
2 months away, and the holiday season will kick in.
That's true, but I guess once again, if we manage this well, I think we can ask them to get this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless we don't care by the end of the year.
Well, the question becomes for us is that it's not really important until the voting time, but we need to have some time to be able to get input and have discussion back and forth in the community about.
Well, I think there is a question about whether or not the two-thirds thing is in January you have to have your membership listed or something like that. To me, if it's not going to cost us additional, I'd like to get it over with as soon as we can.
Here's my suggestion. Whenever we send anything to council where we're paying for them, what we ask them to do is review, send them a document, and give us an estimate on the cost, and that usually holds them to that, or they've got to give you a call back, and then the time frame as well. So we've just got to frame it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for hearing that point.
But also, likewise, Greg, I think you said it very well. When we send something to them, point out what the issue is that we're discussing so that they have some parameters of why they read. Just to say review it, they're not like,
yeah. No.
What's good to me? I mean,
okay.
Build on it. I'm confident there.
Okay. Well, I'll draft up a letter for Whittington. I'll distribute it to you this week, and then you can have input about, make sure that I've covered all the points that you're talked about. And I'll get with Russ. He can help me with his notes. And then before we send the letter and send it to him, we'll have the consensus of what we want and what we're expecting from him. Okay, new business. The only thing that we wrote in here was newsletter.
Oh, I had a couple I forgot. Okay.
Okay, the newsletter is on its way. I've sent an email out. Hopefully we can get some contribution, and then if anybody has idea, either in the community or otherwise, we'll send out an email and just ask me for that. But I did send to people that contributed in the spring newsletter, same thing, lining up our advertisers. That helps defray some of the costs. We've already got three of the four that advertised last time committed, so they'll come back in. Karen will go ahead and give us an update. We'll have the standard from the various board positions. Anything new, please raise a hand. We'll have some article or discussion with regards to the EPA. I'll follow up on that, and the Sheldon Tailings, the roads, Big Bug, and Walker Road as well. We'll give a little update. I've already pulled down some information on the new reverse 911. It's called something else now. Very easy to go through and link up all your cell phones and so forth. So if there's any other interest articles and so forth, forward them over. Any pictures that you think might freshen it up, and then we'll try and give it a little bit of a different look this time around. The dates, all articles by the 26th if we can get them. All ads, artwork, same thing, 26th. We'll try and get the first draft completed the week of the 29th and distribute the following week. So everything's on fast track now.
Okay, anything else about the newsletter? Roger? Chuck? Yeah. A good place for you, Chuck, to put your information about the right of way, that sort of stuff. All right, do you have other new business?
Yes, we talked a little bit about this. And the first, there's two items. One was the hotspot here for cell phone. We talked about it. I don't know where we've gone with that, so I'd like to get some kind of resolution. Are we going to have it? Are we putting the cost? How can we actually do that? And I have one other one.
Okay, well, thanks to the cell phone in terms of a hotspot.
Let me just say something on that. I have a technical question. I don't know if anybody here knows, but the hotspot is not – it's by carrier, not so, for example, you buy one for Verizon. Does it only work for Verizon phones? Does anybody know that before we discuss it? Because there's probably five different carriers people have, and if it only handles one carrier,
okay,
it's a different discussion.
Wilson Electronics makes an amplifier. It's a booster for cell phone signal. Bob has one in his house. And it works for all cell phones, but it's $500, but it has limited coverage area.
I'm very familiar with those. It's entirely different than what we're talking about. The booster, if it in fact does boost the signal, I doubt it will, because we're down in a hole right here, because I had it at my house. It was just much higher, and I had to be dead on the spot. And this is before Nick came, and it had to be a window, off in the middle of nowhere to get. Then what you're doing is boosting the cell signal. What Nick puts in is a piece of equipment that pushes the phone conversation over the internet, which we already have. There's no charge by the month for it. So there's a major difference in the two. But my only question, I'm all for it. But I think most people here have Verizon, I think, you know, because that's really the only thing that works around here.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, and I think everybody needs to know, that it's probably only good for that carrier. I don't know the answer. Does anybody here know anything?
I think you're right about hotspot. It's only good for the carrier that you have the hotspot for.
Correct.
But I think when Nick put in, I think Ed's got it in his place, and I don't know if you have it in your place.
I have the Verizon hotspot.
No, but I think Ed O'Clair put Nick's thing in for to work it over the internet, and I think it works pretty well.
It's a Verizon. Yeah.
Verizon.
Because it says right on it, Verizon.
Well,
that's the only way I know.
Okay.
But I don't know if that only works for Verizon, though. I you know.
Well, I know that the Wilson booster worked here at the fire station in Bob's truck. He had it in the house and he had it in his truck. Now, well, I receive emails and text messages here, so there is some signal here for whatever reason, but my phone will inexplicably.
Because we have the Wi-Fi.
You get Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi here.
Is that what it is? But where's the symbol of the phone?
Somebody pick up the phone, call Nick.
I'll do that. How's that?
All right.
Discuss it further, then.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Well, back to my my normal monthly request.
Why are you staring at me?
I don't want to intrude on anybody's hobbies.
Oh.
I you know, and when we had that conversation, I thought about that. My hobby might be gardening. You know, I'm not doing any environmental degradation by doing that. Mining to me is environmental degradation. I'm sorry. So I'm not trying to force anybody out of here, but I'd like to get us to put some no parking signs in that lot out there so we don't have people parking all over the lot. We had them once before. I don't know what happened to them. They all got taken down. They were cardboard when John Sumner was chief, and they had some altercation out here, so the sheriff said, make them metal and stick them to the trees and post. We did. Now they're gone. So I don't know what happened to those, but I would like to make the parking lot a no parking area for hobbyists.
The signs are probably turned into pans.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, Roger.
I have no opinion either way, but just point out, pursuing that, we will, I think, run into where there's a will, there's a way, and people will park on the street in that case, which creates, I think, a hazard. I mean, on Walker Road is where I think people will park, because there's a couple of spots where people park, because there's a couple of spots where it's relatively safe, but I think that's where the parking will move to.
Okay. Hang on a minute, Chuck. Let's get a consensus here.
Okay.
All right. So you have.
I have no opinion. It's
one
just
or the other about the thing. Okay.
Yeah.
My thoughts are the creek bed. We only own a very small piece of the creek bed. Has the parking been really intrusive on our operations? It really doesn't seem to affect us. We had some idiot park up in the middle of this lot,
right.
Blocked away. You know,
Firefighter appreciation day, right in the middle,
so we did limited parking.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, we don't, we could put signs up that indicate that, I suppose, that if you're parked during the time we have our, we have a need for it here, you're going to be towed. But in terms of, it's not our creek bed, they're not really affecting our operations, is it worth, you know, the battle that you're going to have with these guys to try to. We ran one off of the Iquito's property the other day when we came through. They were parked off on the side of the road. And he was a little mouthy, but he left. And they just turned around and he ended up parking down here. So you're not going to, like Roger said, you're not going to keep them out of the creek. The only people that can keep them out of the creek are the people that own the property. Chad Bruce, who owns a big chunk of that property down there on you know, that direction, he runs them out all the time. If we see people down there on the Aquinos, we'll run them out. But these people that own this property across here, I don't know who they are. I can't speak for them. It's a trust. Well, we can, if you want to reach out to them and get approval from them to say, okay, but then you're acting as their agent, not necessarily as WFDA's agent. Do you have any opinion about this?
No, the only suggestion is that if we feel that there's a problem, I guess you have to post it. And how can you do that? And maybe one is WFPA parking only between certain hours, no overnight parking, and just post it and see what that does. And that'll cost you, what, two signs and 50 people parking.
And then what happens if they don't obey it?
Most people probably will. I think at the end of the day, you're going to have a few that don't. You're going to have to run them off if you're going to do that.
Sigh. Why are we talking about this?
This is very weighty. I honestly, Chuck, because I come over here to get the stuff out of my box, and I know exactly what you're talking about, but it's one thing to post it, it's another thing to police it, and I think I'm not sure it's worth it. Sooner or later, we're going to get in a fight with somebody because there's some real characters that park and go do their mining, you know? Matter of fact, last two or three, they're all packing heat, and I'm like, is that a requirement to go get gold? I honestly don't have an opinion. I agree. I would just assume they not park here, but I'm not sure it's worth. It's kind of like kids, you know, draw your line, you know, battle lines where you embark on something.
I think I just like being the nice guys. If they want to come and park here and pan for gold and, you know, bring their kids and their grandkids, I don't. I mean, it's because we haven't had confrontations. It's not like it's been a safety issue or anything like that. They park like in front of the doors here or anything. So,
I think my only concern is the people who are staying overnight. I've seen a few of that, and I just called my CSO.
I agree with. I mean, we can't have people live because they'll live here if they're given their opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, so that'll be the sign. No living here.
Well, and that's what I'm, you know, the deal is really it's turning into a trash pit. I mean, they throw their trash all over the place. And
so no littering sign.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, over the years, since gold has gone up, this has become, you know, like a carnival over here.
Right.
And so you got some people that are packing heat. You got some trashy people in here looking for getting rich quick. And
good luck.
Yeah.
Parking $5. That'll keep them away.
Okay.
Stay the hell out.
All right. Here. How about this, Chuck? We get a couple signs like Greg says. WFPA parking only. If it becomes an issue where you have people that are there really. Create an issue, then we have a public sign that says you have to leave, and you have some backstop for your asking them to leave. But to really take an official position, if you come by and you see them there, you can run them out, I suppose. But, as a practice, you know, you want to be calling the sheriff every time you have somebody parked down there because he's going to get tired of coming. They have other issues.
Like your suggestion, Bill. If you could get hold of the landowner that actually controls the creek and they don't want it used, then it gives us a lot more impetus. In other words, right, they'll just go park somewhere else if they can still go to the creek. But if the creek's off bounds, and there is a lot of trash, because I know when I dump my trash here, I see these cars, because I pick up the trash all the time.
Okay, so we can get a couple of signs, WFPA parking only. There are people that come and park their ATVs and that sort of thing that they've done that quite often. That's really not. I think that's more intrusive than these occasional gold panners, because they actually take up a whole lot up there. And they've gone in, and there are people that come and ask if they can park overnight because they don't want to take the car up the road. They're having people pick them up. But I don't want to turn the parking lot into a battleground.
And I don't either, and I don't want to be unfriendly about it, but I just think, you know, we should do something because I really, it's turned into a carnival.
I agree. Okay. Let's give it a try.
All right. Put some signs up. Consensus? Okay. Yep. Specific signs for our particular need, WFPA. I'll have them made up by the guy next door who's a sign maker. He's given us wholesale costs at all. So
we could sell them hot dogs for a fundraiser.
Yeah. Even though we don't agree with you, Chuck, we'll put the signs up.
There you go.
We'll give them a free ad in the newsletter.
There you go.
You know what? A free ad in the newsletter. Yeah, okay. Okay. Any other issues? We have announcements, community announcements. Victoria and Lauren? Anything as heady as parking signs?
Yeah. Heady? Go for it.
Actually, you can take that one. Okay, that's fine.
All right.
We should have a little. There we go. On the 27th, Saturday the 27th, we're offering CPR and first aid training. And the WCAA is paying half price for anybody who's interested. This is a $40 all-day course.
Is 40 the half, or is...
Excuse me?
Is $40 the half, or is $40...
No, it's a $40 course, and we're picking up half of the price.
And CPR and what else?
And
first aid.
CPR in the morning and first aid in the afternoon.
Hours.
Starts at 8:30 in the morning. It'll be at the Hampton Inn in Prescott Valley.
Done by the city.
But it's on Glassford Hill Road.
Oh, Glassford, okay.
By the price.
Cool. I personally like to see everybody else CPR around here. There's a lot of candidates sitting here at the table.
I might add that involved with the CPR training is training on the defibrillator.
Yeah, that's part of
the training. Yeah. Well, it's hands-on training.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Victoria? And that is pancake breakfast day here, too, so.
Of course, by the way, it's really good.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that course. I thought, put on.
Well, as long as you're close to this thing, we can hear
oh,
you, Victoria.
All right, then I won't worry about it. I thought I'd recap for you the coach drive at this point. We've been 91 coaches so far.
I can't afford any more.
I know. Those of us who have pledged a dollar a coat are wishing that it was over. But I do know that I've got three more bags coming from somebody else. The coach for kids recap, that I've sort of, it's ended, but if anybody still wants to donate, I will take, and we can still give those coats away by the end of the month. $280 was donated. I went shopping on Tuesday. We got 24 coats. So that went very well, I think, this year. The coat drive will be over at the last pancake breakfast this month. I'll be there to collect coats, and that will be it. Anything that's going to be donated now will go to Catholic Charities. Everything else has gone to the Coalition for Compassion and Justice because today is their kickoff for their Winter Warmth program. So thank you to everybody who's donated. I don't know where the coats came from on our third year. And to everybody who donated for the coats for kids and to everybody who's pledged. And I can still take pledges. And if you'd like to just pledge a $50 amount, I can maybe negotiate that, but $75 would be better. At this point, the WCAA is looking at participating in the Prescott Light Parade. The light parade is Saturday after Thanksgiving. We are looking for ideas, themes, whatever. If this comes to fruition, it will be the truck will be decorated on the 23rd, probably around 11 or 12 o'clock. We don't know where the truck will be. We're going to be using Trevor's Deuce and a Half again. So that's about all that I've got from the Ways and Means Committee.
85 coats last year?
84, I think.
Right. Wow.
Good.
I don't know where they're coming from. I think they're stopping people.
Take leather?
Leather.
Any other announcements about events? It's events or public comments? Okay. That's next. Anybody else? Public? Okay. Public forum. Mark?
Yeah. Should be loud enough right here, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't pick it up very well, so if you don't mind standing up next to the table.
That might be easier for you. Station is complete. I did go ahead and have the propane filled yesterday. In fact, if anybody's looking for propane and you own your own tank, I got a guy that's coming from Black Canyon City and he's $1.50 a gallon.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're 30 days too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately,
just about everybody.
He's a member of the Barrett family, but he's an independent out of Black Canyon City.
Will he do this every year, do you think?
You said he's going to be coming into the area now.
Okay.
We just had three tanks topped up there. He's coming back Tuesday. We're going to make use of him.
Okay.
But I did have the station tank filled, and I'll give you a receipt on that, Vic. But the station is 100%. We got the lines into it. It's all ready to go. The other thing is, if you don't know, we did get the grant for graveling Big Buck.
Wow.
And we're going to gravel from the pavement all the way to Snowdrift. It's a base layer is what I would consider it, 4 inches deep or up to 4, just to give a cap on the whole road. But that'll make a tremendous difference going into that whole area up there, both on personal vehicles and the fire vehicles. Funding, we had actually applied for $150,000. We were granted $90,000. So we had to cut back on some of the culvert and drainage areas. We've got contributions of time and equipment that about equal the grant. With guys, we've got 6 different contractors that are donating their equipment. We're hoping to start it this fall. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. They still haven't, we haven't got the funding for it. We've got everything in place right now. It's a reimbursement grant, so we're going to fund it. They're going to reimburse, and we'll get it taken care of that way. Worst case, it'll be in by spring, but we're looking to have that whole road upgraded.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's taking us 3 years to fight
more.
The system.
This,
more.
I gave you a reason to go 90.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
I'm saying I have to. But.
When I'm out walking, I see coming all the way down the mountain, the road running.
I see a sign coming. He's at 25.
Anyways, once we start that, we'll have signs on the road because it will be some inconvenience to people as we're doing it. Because we will have multiple pieces of equipment from dozers to graders to.
Tons of rock coming.
How much life does that give?
200 dump trucks coming.
Wow. Wow.
How long will that last? I mean, that...
Kind of depends, Vic. Depends how many times John goes up and down. The unfortunate downside to it that I see is people will drive faster. We are going to be increasing traffic, which since the Forest Service improved from Snowdrift into Breezy Pines, they've already increased the traffic significantly on it. The backup to this is Forest Service has told us that once we get this in, and I'm going to continue, you know, I renew my road maintenance on that all the time because I have the maintenance contract for Big Bug from Walker Road to Snowdrift. I've had it for over 15 years. They're going to continue to renew that, and as their funds become available, they said that they'll provide more gravel over the years to help maintain it. As long as I keep throwing the equipment on it, no charge to them. Which our neighbors up there, about every 2 years, we go in and do a grading on it, and the neighbors have always contributed. I donate my time, I donate the equipment, they pay for any operators we bring in, and they pay for the fuel, the tires that bust, whatever we end up with. So,
okay.
Anyways.
All right, thanks, Mark. And then afterwards, I want to talk to you about the apron and the thing for the helicopter pad out here, too.
Okay.
Anybody else? Victoria?
I have just 4 little things. If all the committees could be posted on the web, I think that would be most beneficial for us who do use the website. And the reports that, for instance, that were given today, if committee reports could be there and all the members, so that if we've got questions, we know who to contact instead of once a month, if we're lucky that that committee is being reported upon. I would guess there are more than 2 committees, but I'm not sure. Number 2, this would have to do with the Walker Road, and if I understand what was stated, the county had permission or whatever it's called, right-of-way from Costco to Big Bug, but then from Big Bug to 100 mailboxes, they just paved it without any permission?
They tried to get the permission.
They tried, but they didn't.
No, They did have permission, but they didn't get right of way. They got permission from the owners to do, go ahead and do it, but they didn't get right of ways. It's a legal thing. You have to talk to the county and some land lawyer about it.
Because to me, that seems so, yes, thank you. It seems very bizarre that, but then now they want to maintain it, but they can't maintain it.
Right.
Because I'm just that's foggy.
This is Arizona. It doesn't
matter. But that was an issue with the people along that right of way. That one particular person, and they're no longer there. Whether or not it'll continue that way or not, we don't know. As you know, things can linger here.
Yeah. Because some of those potholes that were up there, I mean, they put Chicago to shame. On the Articles of Incorporation, on that Article 7, excluded membership if you belong to another district or get protection from another district, this might be pie in the sky, but what if somebody subscribes or contracts with another service here in Prescott for whatever reason? You're going to say because we own property here, but we're now being protected by Prescott Fire. We are no longer members here of this department. I'm sort of having trouble with that article, too. So, and then regarding the panning, maybe, you know, this part of the fire station, it looks like really public property. And nowhere does it say no trespassing, property of WSPA. I mean, just, you know, the panning, you know, fine, but is a problem some people see. But really, nothing is posted that is private, so maybe that's part of the solution.
Good suggestion.
My comment.
Thanks, Victoria. Anybody else? Laura? Keith? Anyone on the board have anything else?
Referencing to the road maintenance, they're not going to service the road here. They already fixed a couple of potholes over here, and they've already chunked out again. And part of that problem is because there's not a significant base underneath when they put that down there. So they're going to continue to maintain, but they could do more if we had that right away.
And to address that base, I'm shocked with how quickly Walker Road deteriorates. Coming from a metropolitan area, this road was done, I think, just 3 years ago. And already it's shot and got into it again. Well, how are they doing it?
Okay.
Now,
motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
Oh, my God. I've been
waiting for that one.
What year was this paid?
A long time ago.
More than 3 years ago.
All in favor of adjournment?
I thought we already did that. 1890.